Congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You return man to dust.
And say, "Return, O children of man."
For 1,000 years in your sight
are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night.
You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream.
Like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed.
In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are brought to an end by your anger.
By your wrath we are dismayed.
You have set our iniquities before you,
our secret sins in the light of your presence.
For all our days pass away under your wrath.
We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80.
Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger?
And your wrath according to the fear of you.
So teach us to number our days,
that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us.
And establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commit to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30, beginning at verse 8. And now, go, write it before them on a table, and inscribe it on a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. And who say to the seers, do not see? And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. And you said, no, we will flee upon horses, therefore you shall flee away. And we shall ride upon swift steeds, therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation, please stand and we speak the Alleluia in verse. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated. We sing the sermon hymn 900. Verses 1, 3, 5, and 6. 1, 3, 5, 6.
Jesus, name of wondrous love, name all other names above, unto which must every knee bow in deep humility. Jesus, name of priceless worth, to the fallen of the earth, for the promise that it gave, Jesus shall his people save. Jesus, only name that's given under all the mighty heaven, whereby those to sin enslaved burst their fetters and are saved. Jesus, name of wondrous love, human name of God above, pleading only this we flee, helpless, O our God, to thee.
Our meditation for New Year's Eve is based in part on a reading from Romans chapter 8, but also I would like us to briefly look at several verses out of Revelation. I begin by speaking again, Romans 8, 37, 38, and 39. Paul wrote, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Does everybody have this little half page? You may or may not want to take the little notes, but on part of it is also looking at the Revelation passages. You can see my first point there, temporary knowledge and temporary power means temporary comfort. And I thought of that as the beginning point for this sermon, but maybe I might almost say that's one of my conclusions from 2021. Temporary knowledge and temporary power means temporary comfort. We could all think of examples like this. Of course, the changing medications and protocol for COVID, just it's like now you have to quarantine 14 days and 10 days and 5 days. It changes. Sometimes the vaccines seem to be helping and sometimes you need boosters or sometimes they're not helping. It's changing. But you could think of other things besides COVID as well. You could think of other health situations where we might face. One day our health is very well, and another day we get hit with an accident, or perhaps the flu hits us very hard, or some other thing. And you have that change. And you can get some medication and some treatment, and it helps sometimes and sometimes not so much. You can think of things as such as our employment. Sometimes our employment seems to be going quite well, and then there's a change. Change in the economy, or change in our boss's opinion of us, or whatever it might be, and there's a change. But the temporariness of this becomes quite clear to us. For a while, it's fine, or there's suffering for a while, and then there's comfort, but that is also only for a while. And if you think about that list of problems and sufferings that Paul talks about in verse 35, he names all these things because we realize all these things in part, they are a temporary thing that hits us as Christians, as God's people. He says there in 35, verse 35 of Romans 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now that love of Christ, he makes a point later on that that's permanent. But these other things that he suggests might separate us, the things that we face, he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. These conditions people face throughout history, God's people face. But they're a temporary thing. They come and go. The persecution comes and goes. The famines come and go. So these are changing dangers and changing sufferings. And the thing in verse 36, it seems to stand out as a kind of a contrast. It's a very strong statement from Scripture. As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." There's a real sense here that God's people themselves might even face hatred because they are God's people for a time. So there might even be times when God's people are considered just sheep to be slaughtered. They're not respected. They're not taken to be considered important and so forth. So even that can happen, even the hatred of God's people. But these situations are not in charge. Christ is in charge. Paul says in verse 37, "No, all in all these things," so all this going on, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And notice he says more than conquerors. Conquerors, yes, but even more than that, because it's Christ who we're in, and Christ is over all these things. And he is permanent. His victory is permanent. While these things come and go, he is permanent. And then, of course, this great list of things in this universe that he mentions in 38 and 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in this universe can separate us from the love of God. So there's no power of this world, of this whole universe, that can separate us. So, who decides the future of God's people? Well, it's not anything of this world, no powers of this world or this universe. That doesn't decide our future. And all these points above show us that. And our future is not decided by you or me either. Jesus himself said in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." What is Jesus saying? We didn't decide to be Christians or to become God's children. He chose us. He is in charge of our lives. He brought us salvation and faith. And even there, he says, you're going to pray to the Father, but it's all planned out. That fruit that we bear as Christians, that is all planned out. God's in charge. And this much I was thinking about as we leave 2021 and to going into 2022. Think about what may happen, what may not happen in this coming year. For some reason, I'm not sure what kind of brought it to my mind, but this teaching in Scripture is this book of life, that our names are written in the book of life, which appears a couple times in Scripture, but several times in Revelation. And so I have written there on that little half sheet handout in the back a couple of these passages. And I wanted us to look at the context a little bit and think about how this, our names written in the book of life, means that God's in charge. It's His book. He's written it, and as we'll see, He's written it before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 3:5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus has a book of life, and those people written in that book of life, he confesses their names. In Revelation 13, verse 8, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, and that, if we look at the context, worship the beast, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. And there's something to think about that. You can kind of see this as the negative. Everyone whose name is not in the book of life, they will worship the beast. But think about that. God is preserving us, his people, from worshiping the wrong thing. He preserves us in the true faith. And that promise, his taking care of us in the true faith, he has determined before the foundation of the world. It's not different powers or different evils that are in charge of this world. It is God. And he made sure that he was going to save people even before he created the world. The next passage, a little bit longer, from Revelation 20, verses 12 and 15, or 12 through 15, sorry. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There is the condemnation part. The salvation part is that if your name is in the book of life, you are saved. And again, that is written before the foundation of the world. God is in charge. And then from Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. God has determined our salvation, so that whatever has happened in 2021, he preserves us through. And whatever happens in the future years, 2022, 2023, or how many ever many years, God preserves his people. God is in charge, not the world's powers. And it's clear that there's temporary suffering for God's people. But Paul points out these temporary sufferings are not in charge. They do not win. Death and resurrection of Jesus have finalized the outcome. The outcome has already been finalized. Our outcome already has been finalized in the death and resurrection of Christ. physical death, evil are defeated in Christ's death and resurrection. So no matter what we face, our future is already determined by what Christ has done for us. When we think of it, this is the Lamb's book of life, as it says in Revelation. This is God's book of life. He's in charge of who he will save. He's in charge of salvation. We don't have to fear that something can overcome God's plans. No. So, with every new year we enter, God is in charge. He is the one that is watching over us, and nothing can change his plans. Suffering or setbacks or difficulties we face do not mean that God is not in charge. God has promised he is looking up and carrying us through all these things. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you that you continue to build up our faith in him, to build up our faith and knowledge of the power of his death and resurrection, to also put down any fears that we have of things in this life, powers or difficulties or illnesses. Though we face them, help us not to be afraid, but to look to Christ, who is the victor and in whom your love can never be separated from us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the year now ending, for what has been done wrongly, for the evils and hurts endured, for the hard times and the idols God has exposed among us, and for unbelief, yet in confidence that if we are faithless, Christ remains faithful and will not deny himself. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for this congregation and the Lord's preservation for another year, and for his preservation in the year to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For his blessing and guidance, for the preservation of the faithful preaching and teaching in this place, for the sacraments administered according to his command and promise. And that we may continue in his service and reach out in love to our community, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that the word of the Lord may continue richly among them. For the health and protection of all pregnant mothers and their children, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and its government, that God would be pleased to preserve our republic. For those who serve in positions of authority, that God would give them health and competence. For those who serve in the line of danger and for peace in our time, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the year now ending, for gifts showered upon us, for life, healing, and comfort, for the spiritual and physical well-being, all of which God has given, not because of merit in us, but out of his love in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer from any sickness, need, or affliction, we remember Margaret, Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Shirley, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Jeff, Darlene, Andrew, Daniel, Mary Ellen, Tasha, the family of Tim Thornton, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. That in the coming year, God would provide comfort, preservation, and relief from their ills, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the year to come, that he would guard and guide us by his strong arm, that he would lead us according to his word, that he would renew in us clean hearts that trust him and show love to our neighbors, and that we would commend this in all time to the Lord's blessing and love until he brings his life on earth to an end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Abide among us, Heavenly Father, with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things that are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
The congregation may be seated. We sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6 of the next hymn. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take, eat the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins.
Your table I approach.
Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting.
Depart
in peace. To
me
Amen.
There. Lord, I confess my sins and mourn them. Contrite heart is sure to find forgiveness at your hands. Your body and your blood, once slain and shed for me, are taken at your table, Lord, in blessed reality. Oh, may I never fail to thank you your true body and true blood, O God, my peace and light.
We speak the post-communion collect. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years.